everybody. Hope you're having a fabulous holiday season. This is the best of Drew and Mike. Hopefully, it's very good. Enough to be best of. I haven't listed anything personally or qualified any of this, but I'm just going to assume the best. Actually, any Drew and Mike show business is the best.
That's right. It sucks.
It looks like we'll be back doing new shows January the 2nd, which is Thursday after the 1st, because we have the weekend, to recover, to come back. We'll need 3 days off after being off this long. We'll need 3 days off, well, Friday, Saturday, and then we'll record on Sunday for Monday, the 6th. Yeah, the 6th. Okay.
I'm, like, busy watching TV.
So enjoy all your bowl games, your holidays, and the best of the Drew and Mike show. And this portion of programming brought to you by our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. And they are sharing their love for you by giving you the gift of employee pricing for everyone on most 2019 models in stock. You can lease a 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition for just $198 a month. If it's Jeeps you love, lease the new 20 Jeep Cherokee Limited All-Wheel Drive for just $189 a month. And if you're like listener Alan and you want to roll in the Mac Daddy of Jeeps, lease a 20 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $255 a month. Go celebrate the holidays with employee pricing for everyone. No discount code needed. Only at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. Hey, man, Santa Anita just killed their 26th horse of the year.
Right. Yeah. Way to go. What great sport.
What is going on with that sport?
I couldn't tell you, man. Santa Anita has just been a horror show for horse racing this year.
Did you see the real sports on killing horses?
I've seen a couple of different ones.
Oh, I think, was that
a redo?
That's an answer. That's
no. It was a new show. I still have it if you want to bring it up.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Oh, great.
I bet you it was a redo from a few years ago, and then they put a guy in front of it and just redid it.
Oh, yeah, 26 more horses. That's how many horses are murdered that Tom doesn't even know how many times they do stories on it.
You know, and by the way, you remember when I asked you, I said, when a horse gets injured, you have to kill it?
Uh-huh.
And you said yes.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
It is
horses,
true.
No, horses can get better.
No.
They just don't want it. Once they can't win races, they don't want to feed them and care for them.
No.
They're not an animal. They're an investment.
You're completely wrong.
You got to watch real sports.
Real sports isn't going to tell me what I already know.
What do you know?
Wait, why do you know more than real sports?
They should have asked me. I know.
If a horse is injured,
they can't stand on all four legs. They have to be euthanized.
What about three?
Well, no, what if they can recover,
though,
but not be a
vet?
But not win a race.
Of course, they wanted Barbaro to recover. He couldn't recover. So it took months and months.
Well, yeah, but when you're running them at full speed, at high speed, and they're trying to win these races.
Well, listen, after the race is over and they can save them, they would save them if they can.
Really, that's not what real sports says. Real sports says they don't want to pay for food and training.
Sports are a bunch of liars.
They don't want to pay for the medical. They just want
to
kill them.
Well, I'd love to see it. Is it this month?
And they want their semen first before they kill them.
Is it this month?
We bring it up here?
Yeah, it's a brand new one.
Brand new. So after the Detroit.
You may have to modify your position.
I'm not going to modify.
And they're off.
Earlier this year at California's famed Santa Anita racetrack, one horse
Bernie
after another broke down and had to be put down.
This is fine.
Poor horse. That horse is okay.
You've
got to go without the rider.
In just a few short months, 23 horses were dead, just like that. And the fallout was fast and furious.
Animals had no choice.
The deaths quickly becoming a national story.
Wouldn't they stand a better chance to not get injured and not have to be shot to death if they didn't race?
Yes, yeah. That is correct.
So then... Okay.
That is
just
correct.
Wanted to make
you got,
clear.
You got
another
me on
horse
that
has died at California's famed Santa
Shut
Anita
up,
racetrack. It's the 23rd horse to die.
She didn't murder
at the
any horse.
Since
time.
This aired.
Amid cries for answers from an outraged public, multiple investigations were opened into why so many horses were dead, including one investigation by the L.A. District Attorney. But this much is known. What happened to those horses at Santa Anita is just the tip of an iceberg the public knows virtually nothing about.
Santa Anita, since late December, more than 20 deaths. How unusual is that?
It's not unusual at all.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
really?
Totally cool.
They
wow.
have averaged at Santa Anita 50 dead racehorses
oh,
a
nice.
Year going back to 2007.
Great.
How
so
many
they're
deaths
under the
a
average
year at Santa Anita?
50. 50 dead racehorses.
Or they still have half a year
how
to come.
We don't hear about that.
No one has covered
more than half a year. No, they're
but
ahead
he
of
has.
Yeah,
but they're not
going to
race the whole year.
who lives not far from the historic Saratoga racetrack in upstate New York.
Gorgeous. I highly recommend.
Once he was a fan of horse racing until he says he started to notice a pattern. A tidbit of news about a death at one track, then at another.
Oh, a falling there.
And another. And then the one-time fan became an activist. Now, Betuelo, a former restaurant owner, runs a website that logs racehorse deaths at tracks all across the country.
Wow.
And if you think 23 deaths at Santa Anita is a lot, listen to the numbers he's uncovered.
Easily over 2,000 horses are killed racing or training on U.S. tracks every year.
Oh, my God. Man, that's a huge number.
I would venture to say that people watching us right now would be shocked by that number.
They should be sickened by that number.
You should be.
Betuelo says that the spate of deaths this spring at Santa Anita is just business as usual at tracks all over the country, like the Charlestown racetrack in West Virginia, where 44 horses died last year.
We had a spill at the top of the stretch.
Turf Paradise in Arizona lost 45 horses
beautiful
last
track.
Year.
And going down was Coolidge. Coolidge fell.
And at Gulfstream Park in Miami, 55 beautiful horses park. Went down. Betuelo chronicles each death and gets the paperwork to prove it.
These are all confirmed deaths. Names, dates, locations. Wow. Irrefutable
look
evidence
how young they are.
Of the deadliness of the American horse racing industry.
Betuelo says he collects all of this information for one simple reason. No one else does. Not the industry itself, and not the government agencies that are supposed to be overseeing
man.
Which is why he often gets letters.
It's quite enjoyable, though, watching a jockey just go flying off a horse and roll.
Ugh. It's like this. Here's one from South Dakota.
I can never look at
regarding information on horses that were euthanized. The South Dakota Commission does not maintain the records you requested.
See?
They don't maintain records of
what's
how many horses die on their tracks.
Nobody can count that high, Drew.
I get that from a couple other states also, Arkansas being one. They do not have any information on the deaths at Oaklawn, which is one of the the top-tier tracks in the country.
Betuelo's records include more than just the names of the dead. He also collects autopsy reports, which illustrate each horse's final moments
gunshot.
In disturbing detail.
Horse caught reins in rail and snapped neck.
Ooh. Sorry, horse you named died.
Digger Jigger. This horse was involved in a collision.
Oh, this sucks.
Found dead in her stall the next morning.
Oh.
Quiet Title, another horse. Sudden cardiac arrest. Horse fell and broke neck.
What if he mentions hoof hearted?
Blood coming from ears. Look, I can go on, but this is not easy.
Gastrointestinal disorder.
The question for America is, do these lives matter at all? And if they do,
horses' lives
then
matter.
We can't
gambling matters.
Abide this any longer.
They're often racing.
The other question, of course, is why horse racing in America is so remarkably deadly.
Bye.
Insiders say there's one big reason. A culture
gone too
of
soon,
rampant
another
drug
one.
Use.
Oh,
Kate Papp
cool.
is a veterinarian who treats horses at Penn National Racetrack outside Philadelphia. She says that for a year she's watched with anger as trainers pump injured horses full of drugs so they can run through the pain.
Oh, cool.
They are meant to feel no pain.
Just like
they
athletes.
They run and they break
horses.
Their legs because they
don't
feel
run
them.
Race.
They can't
and
not
they're
take
trying
the drugs.
As hard as they can because that's what horses do. They try for
I'm
us.
Not the
and when they break
guys.
Down, it's catastrophic.
Humans give them to
Pap
them.
First told us about the industry's drug problem back in 2014. She told us about an injured horse called Prima Zip that she'd been asked to take care of.
We took some x-rays and found stress fractures of the one hind leg.
So you thought Prima Zip needed rest?
I was sure Prima Zip needed rest.
But Prima Zip's trainers didn't want him resting. They wanted him racing. Horse racing, after all, is more than a sport. It's a business.
See?
And in the business, Pap told us, it's not hard to find an unethical vet who will drug up a horse
right
to get it out on the track
right there.
And make a few bucks in the process.
Bet on that horse.
One injection
we always
takes
say
two
that at the track. When a horse goes back for equipment repair,
and if you multiply that
we
times 10
say that
in one day, that's $300 for 5 minutes worth of work.
Even if the vet thinks
a terrible
that horse should be shot
why
up
why would they
drugs?
Take the horse all the way back for equipment repair?
Some
couldn't they take a piece of equipment and repair it?
No, they got to repair on the horse.
I know.
Prima Zip was sent back to the races reportedly on two painkillers.
I think Prima
first,
Zip hated his name, too.
With a lead toward the inside, it's Prima Zip.
But minutes later, he was dead.
Primazip pulled up there. Primazip pulling up before the quarter pole.
Primazip's weakened leg finally shattered, and he had to be put down. For Pap, euthanizing damaged racehorses was an unfortunate but not uncommon part of the job. In fact, right after our interview, Pap headed over to Penn National, to an area racing fans never see called the pit. As her assistant videotaped, Pap injected a fatal dose into another broken-down racehorse.
Look at that poor horse.
5 years later, Pap says that not much has changed.
Where's Mag?
She says she was recently asked to treat a horse that she says had been drugged so he can race on an injured leg.
Wow.
I saw a horse that is hopping around on three legs.
Well, we kind of do that with a gymnast. Remember that gymnast in the Nasser documentary had the broken leg, but Nasser kept telling her she was fine.
Carrie Strug had to be carried.
Something in your demeanor.
We didn't shoot Carrie Strug.
Yes, we spent a lot of time together, okay? So, and finding him like that, I don't think I've ever seen something so horrible.
She's crying, Maz. Jeez.
What do you say about...
Think she's ever seen that horse video?
A trainer or an owner or... Who lets a horse reach that point?
Fuck that guy.
Yeah!
I hate them. I can't stand
what if she was in the
it.
Horse
they should
video?
Not be allowed. They're not horsemen. They're
Amy,
not
well,
trainers.
She acted like
They're
they had
butchers.
A close relationship.
No. Eventually, Pap and her team determined the horse could not be saved. Aww. One of 38 that were euthanized from Penn National last year.
Twice again?
But experts say it doesn't have to be this way.
The United States is just about the only place on the planet where so many racehorses suffer catastrophic injuries, break down, and are euthanized, killed. It doesn't happen in such devastating numbers here in France or the rest of Europe or the rest of the
horse
world.
Horse racing communities do over
there. Racehorses are safer than they are in America.
I guess they don't shoot them up with injections.
In fact, industry insiders say racing in America is at least five times deadlier than places like this.
You've had how many horses in almost 20 years die under your care?
None.
Zero.
Thoroughbred trainer Gina Rarick is an American, but says she'd never work in the American horse racing industry. Instead, she works in and around Paris at tracks like the famed Chantilly Racecourse, where here and across the rest of the
racing world,
they take a much different approach to the sport.
Big bopper
the biggest single factor that separates the United States from France and Europe is what?
Is medication. That's the biggest difference between American racing and
It's not the kind of gun used to put them down.
While some trainers in America drug their horses with just about everything under the sun, from legal drugs that mask injuries to illegal drugs like morphine, steroids, even Viagra.
What?
For the horse video.
Here in France, they have a simple rule.
On race day, there can be no drug in the horse's system. None.
Seems like
French
an okay
racing
rule.
Authorities aggressively test for drugs after every race. On this day, Rarick has two horses running at Chantilly.
Horses have to be drug tested?
Jesus.
Afterwards,
they don't know what's going on.
Stupid is that?
Stall where his urine Very and
stupid.
Blood are drawn. The
He's
samples
have blood
then brought
drawn.
To
Just
this
wants to be a horse.
Lab, where they are secured and eventually tested for every drug imaginable.
Gross.
Did you ever have a horse fail a drug test?
Nope.
It's too late because the people have already cast their tickets anyway.
If you get caught with any kind of anabolic
steroid,
you lose
your license.
Well, they've never been disqualified.
That's it. It's finished for you.
Well, the idea is about not killing horses, not the betting part.
Understood.
Back at her stable, Rarick told us that some of her horses are actually smaller than American racehorses. That's because American horses are often pumped with steroids from birth to add muscle, so they'll sell for more at auction.
Is that a bad thing?
It's a horrible thing. It's what happens is you get an absolutely beautiful-looking horse that's too heavy for the skeleton that's holding it up, and it stresses the bone structure when you have too much weight on a skeleton.
And that's how horses break down.
That is how horses break down.
So why do every other country's horses race in relative safety while the American racing industry has a culture of drugs and injury and too often death?
And sex
we
on
asked
a video.
The organization that registers all thoroughbreds in America
No, I don't.
It's a woman with a horse.
25-year-old jockey club. The club told us it desperately wants change in the sport.
I've not seen it.
But that
is
easier said than done.
I'd rather see that than this.
Has the jockey club ever said to the people who are the movers and shakers of the industry, this has got to stop?
We have said that repeatedly.
Stuart Janney is the head of the jockey club.
I think that guy drinks a bit. He's so red his face is.
Federal legislation that would, for the first time,
what's his problem?
Uniform and strict safety
what's
rules.
What's this guy's problem, though?
But says that some powerful track owners and state racing commissions have blocked it.
And that's just because they want to hold on to power?
I would think so. They want to keep the power they've got, even though
hey,
they've done
like
a terrible
America,
job.
Then you can
what about the trainers who want to use drugs and don't want
all those trainers?
The federal government sticking their nose
yeah,
into to what
the guys
they
Maz
do
likes.
With the horses?
Well, those would be the people that,
like that.
That need to be found
is
and
rather
weeded
red.
Out
you
of the
you don't like that, Tom?
You love this sport.
You want American
I do
bastards?
Love the sport.
If you don't like America,
don't
why don't you
way,
get out?
They may shut us down.
I've said it repeatedly. They're putting the very
you see why they
survival
kill the horses.
Of the sport
it's so bad.
At risk.
But even the horses that don't die because of racing far too often end up dying an even more gruesome
oh,
death
oh, here we
once
go.
Their careers are
this
over.
This sucks.
They're sent to slaughterhouses.
If that horse can't make the money, they don't want it. They don't want to feed it. They don't want to take care of it. They just
hey,
want
that's
it
that's what
gone.
I'm saying, man.
Because a horse that can't win races and can't make money
is worthless to them.
We met assistant thoroughbred trainer Becky Kerr back in 2008. She had recently left her job at Mountaineer Park in West Virginia. She says what she saw there drove her out of the industry for good. Each week at Mountaineer, the stables were visited by a man looking to buy horses on the cheap, the man with that dark trailer and an ominous name.
Why do people at Mountaineer Track call him the meat man?
Because most of the horses he buys will end up as meat.
And when you first learned that some of these racehorses, whose only offense was that they weren't winning races, were being taken out and were going to be slaughtered at some point. What was your reaction?
Seems like the horses get kind of used in this whole deal, doesn't it?
Then I cried.
You see the horse being loaded
on. Savory and delicious.
Sometimes they'd make you go get it out of the stall and hand it to him.
What was that like?
It was like handing a horse to the Grim Reaper. That's what it was.
Mass is deflecting.
How about the cows and the chickens? Cows.
To
about
see
about
it for
we don't bet on cows and chicken races.
Mass is the Grim
Reaper.
Wait a second.
That's a good point.
Camera.
We don't like cockfighting either
as
a society
forced
because of the way they're handled.
Trailer.
Oh, look at
him
the horse.
No
look at
day
this.
Off.
Look at this. This sucks.
Her crime? She no longer ran fast enough to win.
That looks
What's
delicious.
What's wrong with her exactly? Does she got have an illness or she just doesn't run well anymore? She doesn't run too good.
See, no day off was taken here
salivating.
To a
he's
weekly
so hungry
livestock
to eat that
auction
horse.
In Ohio.
He probably oh, says the line, I'm so hungry I can eat a horse
the truck,
all the time.
And behind her, more racehorses from Mountaineer that were no longer making money. One
oh,
by
man.
One, they were sold.
He's going to make a primo dump each. Later on.
Then packed into a truck and shipped off to slaughter to countries like
Great.
Canada and Mexico, since
Stupid
slaughtering
countries.
Horses is illegal here in the United States.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh. The process began with a bolt to the brain.
Oh,
designed to knock the horses out.
Yikes.
Sometimes it worked.
Oh, great, yeah.
Sometimes it
didn't. What's that guy get paid an hour?
Either way, it got worse
man.
From there.
Oh, great.
Then they're stringing it up by the legs. They're going to hang it up from the ceiling, and they're going to bleed it out.
I will
right
say
there.
This, though. Why is that so different
okay,
than a slaughterhouse?
Off that
yeah.
Guy,
lucky,
yeah.
Why is that so different than a slaughterhouse
still,
with cows?
Are you still a fan, Maz?
I'm a fan of horse racing, Drew. Yeah.
You're not backing racing. Out. You're not backing down at all.
No, I'll never back down from that. Do I like what's going on? Of course not. I love animals.
Not well, giving it.
When they don't win, they basically kill them.
Yeah, I understand that, but how about all the other animals they eat?
All the
it's not about
what?
Eating; it's just about
yeah,
using the horses.
Why can't the horse just be a horse? Like
yeah.
some kid
that,
can
I
ride
would,
it.
I want that. That's
I could
that would be
backyard.
Number one in my
Mags
heart.
And Layla could be
they
with the
adopt
horse.
Horses too.
But that would mean no. That would mean no horse
they adopt
racing.
Horsing. They adopt
you
horses.
Like the horse?
It seems that they're very disposable to the people that run the industry.
Well, some the bad people.
Well,
but they seem to be running
every track.
There's always bad people.
How come other countries can have those no drug rules and test them, but not here?
Well, we should have that.
Yeah, our horses are bigger because they give them so many roids.
Because they make for cooler races. Because they're bigger.
Also, the better the horse is, the more the more care he gets. I get that. The better the, I know they get.
Yeah,
cared
but if
for.
They're like twice the size that their skeleton can handle, that's kind of a
it's not a good.
I don't
thing.
Know. It seems like. Well, you do know, you only go to tracks where they're really nice to the horses?
Exactly. That's the ones I go to. Those are the ones I go to.
Okay.
Hey, look. When I was a kid, and Ruffian ran against Foolish Pleasure. Do you remember that back in the early 70s?
Yeah, here's a clip from it.
Oh, good. It was a match race. Foolish Pleasure against
the
Ruffian.
The one that didn't get shot won?
The best filly against the best male, against the best colt.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that match race? It was a huge match race.
I don't really remember. I remember Foolish Pleasure, the name. But
right, and Ruffian broke her leg in the stretch.
Oh, and they shot it?
No, they tried to save her. And the next day they had to...
Did you send a card?
I cried like a baby. I mean, I still can't get over it. They made a movie about it.
You're not crying right now.
They made a movie about
Ruffian.
You saw
them killing horses and bleeding them out, and you weren't crying.
Of course I'm crying. I'm crying on the inside.
Were you crying on the inside when that horse died?
Of course.
Were you crying on the outside?
Yes.
Really? Yes. So you cried on the outside, but you didn't cry on the outside.
I cried for many horses. Eight Bells died on the track in a great filly race.
But you seem to love horses so much that you cry about them, yet you don't mind that we're putting steroids in them.
Well, they're showing, you know, the bad part of horse racing. Yeah, there's a bad part of everything.
And then you jumped on Bob Page's tweet about...
I did, but I said what I said.
Call him, he's not a true New Yorker.
Well, any New Yorker, all New Yorkers love horse racing.
A stereotype.
Very fine. Well, he turned out to be a transplant.
I guess he's from here.
I would like to think that people that love horse racing love horses and don't hate them. But it seems like people that love horse racing almost have to hate horses.
Of course not true. Come on now.
But you see what they're doing to them?
I don't know, because I love dogs, but if I were to have a dog and it was no longer cute, I wouldn't just shoot it.
Yeah, I understand.
You know?
That's a good question.
Thank you for that.
Do they do drug testing with like those greyhound races? And
they don't race greyhounds anymore. It's illegal.
Oh, interesting.
It's illegal.
They evolved.
I know what happened on greyhound tracks. They did the same thing to the dogs that you're looking at at the horses.
Oh, but they stopped because care about
they put
animals.
A stop on it. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you.
When's the final leg of the Triple Crown?
Cannot wait for the Belmont this Saturday. I want War of Will to win so we can win two out of the three.
You want to hear a quick Maz Day boner line?
Go ahead.
All right.
Oh, God.
Hey, Drew, Mark, Brandon. Hi, Trudy. And Maz, whoever else.
I was wondering if Maz is going to be pushed back a day like trash pickup because of the holiday.
No.
I just want to chime in on Maz. I think one day a week is perfect. No more, no less on Maz Day. But I have a great idea for his show name. It should be called Shit.
Shit, yeah.
For what? Two reasons. One, it should be appropriate for the content.
Bullshit.
And two, you don't have to change Walter's intro. Because at the end there, he says, Charlie the Duff's no bullshit news ain't shit. So
actually, no
it works.
News ain't shit.
Damn it.
Hey, guys, if you are silly enough to launch a podcast with Maz and Righteous Rick, it really should be called The Beggar and the Tool.
You butt out.
Tom Mazway, where to even begin? He's a liar.
Mother effer.
He does not even listen to the podcast.
Next.
The question is for Maz regarding horse racing. Because I've been around a lot of three-legged dogs. Why can't horses? I don't get it. Does it wait?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Why do they instantly assassinate them? Can you answer that?
But it's so good. So damn good.
I was thinking about the Righteous Frick and Maz show. Maybe you guys should do a pilot and see how that works out.
Yeah.
That's a Tom Sack quitter.
Just a quick
it's
one.
Not
today.
A bad
thanks,
idea.
Thanks for all the advice, guys. Appreciate it. All the compliments.
All right. And this portion of Best of Programming brought to you by Hull Financial. Here we are in the holiday season, and mortgage interest rates remain as low as they've been at any point this year. Many people might feel that they've missed the boat on refinancing to save some money. The answer is no. Rates remain super low, although you just don't hear about it as much because we kind of take it for granted after a while. Hull Financial takes special care of the podcast listeners. We all know that. In fact, they've closed in an average of 19 days. But in early December, 17 of 22 closings closed in 10 days or less. Incredible turn times, immediate results, 1,000 five-star ratings from Hull Financial. So if you're looking for debt consolidation or you got some debt you want to take care of through a refi, taking money out of your house, whatever you want to do, if you want to save money, contact Hull Financial, drewandmike.hullfg, or click the link on our website, fill out the online form. They'll get back to you very quickly. Hull Financial. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. Yeah.
It's no good.
I just looked at the screen, Brandon. It's our man, Constantine, with another bass cover. Constantine, the superior bass cover mover. I do like his laid-back attitude when he plays
his body
songs.
Never moves.
No, he's just kind of a blob.
His studio's cool. He's got guitars hanging all over.
He teaches how to play bass guitar.
He should probably be the picture for the show today. As many bass covers as we play on the show.
People love him. Speaking of YouTube rockers, I got a message back from that rocker.
Oh, the one that was playing the senior center?
Yeah. It's a minute 45 video on YouTube, and it's just titled, Greg Lynn Shredding a Senior Living Center.
He is so over-rocking, it's ridiculous.
The wild cat is growl.
What's this guitar?
Riders were approaching, and Greg Lynn began to howl.
Rules, man. So it's just the courtyard of a senior living center, and older people are sitting there. And this one lady who dominates the video is walking with her walker, and she goes to sit down.
She takes about 30 seconds to sit down.
Meanwhile, he's standing on top of the fire pit now.
Yeah, he leaps up there.
She's still not in her seat yet. And by the way, she is sitting right next to one of these speakers. He's pretty good.
He's good, but why is he playing there? Let's dial him up.
So I sent him a message. Oh, the lady. Okay, so this lady tries to sit down and falls down.
Yeah, which immediately gets... It takes about 20 seconds, and everyone realizes she's fallen. And wow. It takes another hour to get her up.
And he is, meanwhile, just shredding. And he puts something on the video that says, don't worry, she's okay.
<That's it. laughs> Like a note.
So I sent him a message to see if we could call him, and he wrote back, sure, man, what time? And he gives me his phone number, and it spells out F-U-C-K in the phone. Like, he wrote it. And he goes, I was in my 20s. He said I could pick my last four numbers.
Oh, brother.
I love this dude. You seem dubious.
I just think he over-rocks. I mean, know the audience,
no
dude.
No such thing.
Know the room.
Fuck it!
Maybe that senior center wanted to rock. I'm printing out the number, Brandon.
The people look pretty... I mean, they're not covering their ears, which surprises me.
Well, they can't hear. They're like 90.
I guess that's the advantage to over-rocking at a senior center, is that nobody can hear.
Can you hear me?
It's just ludicrous seeing this courtyard of old people and him just shredding. Oh, wait. It looks like he rocked out other times.
His number.
What is this? Yacht Stock After Party Preview?
What's his name?
Oh, boy. Greg. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people in this crowd, and he's throwing out T-shirts. And he's standing on a table shredding. Once again, they're all about 60, 70 years old. I don't know, I kind of dig this guy.
It might be the worst case of overrocking I've seen since Taylor Swift. She invited
what?
Sean Colvin on stage.
Who?
Sean Colvin. Remember Sonny Came Home?
Oh.
She won a few Grammys. She was hot for like a minute.
Yeah.
But she's actually, I thought she was pretty good actually. I think she wrote some nice songs. Anyway, she invites her out on stage. Sean Colvin's, 100 years old. Actually, she's probably 60 or maybe a little less. And they're doing Sean Colvin's song. And Taylor Swift is just rocking like a mad woman on an acoustic guitar. And Sean Colvin's just strumming and singing her song. And the crowd's, of course, reacting to Taylor Swift.
Oh, no. Well, it's all about her.
Who demands the crowd, of course, give her a ridiculous ovation because they didn't.
Doesn't Swift do this a lot where she brings...
Yeah, I guess so. I sort of deep dove because I thought it was so stupid.
This guy's phone number.
I was in my 20s.
I know. Ooh, he's in a contest, 30 seconds to shred. This guy just likes shredding anywhere and everywhere, man.
Well, does he ever shred anywhere that people who want to see him shred
when there's
can
people
watch?
There? No, every time he shreds, nobody is around. He's got another video where he's shredding at Guitar Center, and there's nobody in there. This is another one of his videos.
What's up?
Is this Greg the Shredder?
Rock and roll, man. Greg Lynn, how you doing, man?
Greg, it's Drew.
Rock and roll, how you doing, man?
Good. Mark's here. Brandon is here. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing really good, man. Doing very good. Very good.
Man, we were just watching the video of you shred at the senior center. Dude.
That's pretty crazy, man.
What's up with it? I think, has anyone
seen... There's a lot going on in 2 minutes in that video.
Has anyone suggested that maybe you're over-rocking a little bit for that crowd?
Oh, I over-rock everything. If you know your limits and ignore them. It's really simple. Absolutely. No, burn it up, man. Burn it up at all times. I can promise you, I win them ahead of time. Like, okay, let me give you the backstory. So my grandmother lives there.
Can we see her in this video? Please don't tell me she's wearing pink.
No. Okay. My grandmother is not on camera.
Okay.
But, so... My grandmother fell, broke her hip in two places, and so she's been there for almost. I'd say,
was she rocking when she did that? Was she rocking too hard?
Oh, she loved the performance. She loved it, of course. Now she's. I used to play in a cover band about 10 years ago, up and down the Jersey Shore and stuff, and she would come out to see us play New Year's Eve and stuff. Like, she's on board. That's not a problem.
Okay, but, so she lives there.
She lives there, and so yeah, I thought I was in the lobby. Everyone's like hanging out in the lobby that one day, and. There's a piano in the lobby, and I just kind of thought I'd be a goof, and I grabbed the piano, and I was playing terribly, and I'm acting like a lounge singer, like, hey, sing it if you know it. Oh, yeah, como va. You know, like, I'm just, you know.
They probably love that.
That sounds a little more appropriate than the shredding you were doing in the
Of course. Of course.
Area.
Well, appropriate, I usually avoid appropriate as at all costs, but yeah, no. And so... So somebody, a resident just kind of piped up and just said, you should play here sometime. And I'm like, all right. So I got the phone number and I met the woman who was in charge of activities and all that. And I just presented myself as a grandson of a resident. And I said, that residents have been asked if I would play here sometime. And much to my surprise, without hearing a demo or anything, she just picked out a date. And I was like, yeah, that works.
Well, there's not.
And that was that.
Greg, there's not a ton of people that are looking to perform, you know, for 30 seniors. I mean,
I'll play anywhere. I'll play a funeral or library. I don't care.
I think
it's
great.
To me, man.
No, it's totally cool.
A library.
But it seems like, I'm just saying.
By the way, I play that library. I'll play that same show, too. So I'm just. Anyway, though.
I mean, wouldn't it have been kind of cool if maybe you played some acoustic and something that they knew instead
I don't,
of just
oh, yeah.
over-rocking?
I don't own an acoustic. I do not. Does not match my personality whatsoever.
Did you tell the lady at the senior center that, by the way, I rock hard, lady?
Oh, no. Oh, I warned her thoroughly. I said, look, I don't own an acoustic. This isn't going to be some campfire kumbaya. I am heavily influenced by Steve Vai, Frank Marino, Mahogany Rush. Very big fan of him. Zach Wild.
You have an acoustic in one of the other senior center video. You have an acoustic where you're playing Richie Havens.
Oh yeah, that video. Okay, someone's done the research. That was.
Wait, hold on. We'll listen to you, Greg.
Let's see how many people I can count in the audience. Zero. Where is everybody?
Exactly.
I mean, you're good. You can play.
Yeah, you got a better crowd when he's shredding, actually.
There's a woman behind the counter at the desk, and I'm playing for her, and that's pretty much it. Off camera, there was one person off to the side. They were off camera.
I did notice that when you were shredding that no one left. I mean,
well,
nobody, I know, I'm surprised by that, too.
Nobody covered their ears. No one left. It did seem, though, when the lady fell, when she sat down, you kept shredding away, and then there's people attending to her. And then you turned around. Did you notice that she was on the ground?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. Yeah, when the song was over, I turned around, and I just saw, like, five or six people surrounding by these feet on the ground. I'm like, oh, that's not good. And so the first thing I said was, in fact, I was editing the full performance this morning. I'm going to put that on YouTube as soon as I can.
What, the whole show? The whole performance is going on?
Dude, Dude, I played about 80 minutes. I played about 80 minutes.
What was that?
Non-stop, dude.
Shredder.
Dude,
God,
I played the Top Gun theme song. I played Crossroads by Cream.
Nice.
I played Johnny B. Good. I played Jessica by Allman Brothers. I played the Shaft theme song by Isaac Hayes.
Cool. Most applause. What song got the most applause, Greg?
I'll admit the lighter ones probably got more applause, like Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond and stuff like that probably got more. Margaritaville got much more applause than.
Wait, what's the line, Sweet Caroline?
Da, da, da.
Fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
Touching you, touching me. Yeah.
Wait.
Sweet Caroline.
Isn't there some nasty line like the Billy Idol song in Sweet Caroline? Was it crying?
Oh, maybe. If there's a nasty line in Sweet Caroline, I probably didn't sing it. I think the lyric "warm, touching warm" is really kind of creepy and gross by my standards. Warm, touching warm, like that's really like, kind of like a serial killer would say that. Like that's really, Greg, that's really like off the charts.
I feel like I'm talking to Nuge right now.
A little bit. Well, that's an honor for him.
Hey man, hey, you know what? Nuge is he's a PR player as well.
Nuge Wales,
of course.
Nuge would over rock at a senior center.
Absolutely. Right.
Do you stop playing when this lady fell? Did you stop
playing?
No. Oh, you kept shredding.
No, I don't stop. No, never stop. No, right. Nothing can stop the freight train. But no, the song was
Greg, if you were shredding at Jonestown, Guyana, as the people were drinking Kool-Aid and falling to the ground, would you keep shredding?
The show must go on. Absolutely. The guys in the Titanic kept playing, didn't they? I'm just saying, right?
So we hear, yeah. I guess so.
Hey, look! I tell you this. Like, I had a couple of radio interviews on Friday.
Ooh,
in South Florida.
Late to the party again.
That's all right. That's okay, dude. It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Okay.
This video's
late to the party.
This video's been for almost a month now, so it's okay.
It says 1 week ago, but that's fine.
God damn it!
Yeah. Keeping on playing. Hey man, I hate to. I don't want to make this a downer at all because trust me, he's a hero of mine. But I heard a story about when Mr. Dimebag Darrell was taken from us on stage in Ohio.
Yeah.
The story that was circling around guitar players was that he actually kept playing as he was going down. Like, he was still riffing out, even though, you know. So, you know what? So, Johnstown, drink all the Kool-Aid you need. I got another song lined up.
Here we go. You plug the Kool-Aid stand.
Absolutely. Dude, I'll pour it out for you. Are you kidding me? I'll help you out. All right.
No,
dude, of course,
this,
man.
This lady that fell, you put on the on the YouTube clip that she's okay. Sure. How did you know she was okay?
Because I asked, and I did not. I stopped the show, and I first question was like, please tell me it was not a PA cable. please, God.
Your table's okay.
Yeah, like please.
I mean,
please
hopefully that person
like
died before my table got broke.
What led you to leap onto the barbecue pit there? Because you did. You
that was a that's actually a fish pond of all things.
Oh, fish pond. Okay, cool. But that was a cool move though. You're rocking on solid ground, the same level as all the seniors, and then you rise up on the fish pond and you really start shredding. Then what was it that took you to that upper level?
Well, that's always been like my motivation since probably 1984 or so. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, the video that changed my life was Hot for Teacher. When Eddie Van Halen's on that library table, I'm not kidding you. That changed my life. I was like, this guy's in a library ripping his guitar in half on a table. I'm like, that is. So I was living out my own Eddie Van Halen fantasy. Standing on that fish pond.
What's the Eddie Van Halen the best shredding song? The instrumental. They just wait.
Oh, Eruption, of course.
Can you play Eruption? Can you play Eruption?
I can, I can make my way through it. Yeah, sure.
Could you play it now?
I have my guitar right here in front of me.
You do?
Excited.
I want to hear this. I want to hear you play Eruption.
We're bigger than his usual crowds.
Let me find a place to place my phone down.
Okay.
Let me do a quick sound check. I'll place my phone down and I'll start playing something. I'll grab my phone and see how it sounds. Okay?
Okay, cool.
There you go. Quick sound check. Here we go.
Is he rocking?
This guy's insane.
He's a rocker. Through and through.
How was that?
We could barely hear it.
Yeah, it was tough to hear.
Okay, I'll crank it up loud. Let's crank it up louder then.
Crank it!
Here we go, man. This is pretty, this is going to be pretty pumping.
It could be intense.
Barely hear it. Here we go. Let's check it out. Try this again.
Why can't we hear it?
I don't know. Is the phone near the amp?
Yeah. I don't think so. Or maybe he's...
How was that?
Is the phone right near the speaker? Because it's not really, we hear it, but not real loud.
Interesting. I'll get it closer to the amp. It's no problem.
Yeah, close
I
thought as close as you can.
Let it all hang
there we
out.
Go, okay.
We need distortion.
There you go. This guy's a madman.
Brandon, you impressed with the shred?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that him on screen right now, or is that Eddie?
That's Eddie.
Oh, man, nature, how's that?
That was really good.
Awesome. You know,
it's funny. I saw Brandon has Eddie up on our screen. I was like, is that Eddie or is that Greg? I wasn't sure who it was.
Oh, no problem, man. Yeah. That is a heck of a recording, and of course.
Greg,
there's
what
a few nuances? What's up?
I was just going to say, what's up? What is the biggest gig you've ever had? You can clearly shred. I just feel like you haven't met the right audience.
I've played. When I was in a cover band, we played up and down the Jersey Shore, casinos and stuff. We used to play like the openings of a Sixers game outside of Philly. There, you know.
An unsanctioned opening.
I feel like it ought to be a Texas jam or something, you know?
Dude, I've always wanted to. I mean, my wife and I were actually in Nashville, and I was told if you tipped the band enough, you could actually sit in with them on Broadway, and I should have. I regret not doing it. $40, though. Come on, man. I'm just saying. But yeah, no, I should have filmed that. That would have been fun. It would have been the same thing as you're watching at the Senior Center.
Wait,
basically,
who paid you $40?
So lost.
No. I was told by a few musicians on Broadway in Nashville that if you tip the band $40, you can sit in on a song.
I see.
Oh, that's pretty.
I never did do it. Yeah,
you should be the band that's getting tipped $40. Why do you have to tip?
It would
somebody?
Be nice.
You're the shredder.
Look, I'll be honest with you. I would love to be the guitar player for Grim Reaper if it was possible. Like if Grim Reaper could go back on tour, I'm available.
What's your favorite song to play, Greg?
Oh, man. I mean, you know what? I love Trina Grove, man. I love Trina Grove.
Doobies?
Like, No Tomorrow. Yeah, by Doobie Brothers, of course. Trina Grove.
Mississippi Queen, do you play that?
You want me to play some Trina Grove?
Oh,
yeah, play some Trina Grove. Let's do some Doobies.
Why not? Here we go.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Sure, man.
This guy's ridiculous. Why can't we hear it? I feel like he's hitting the mute button.
I hear it. It's not real loud, but...
Another one. How about this one, man? Judas Priest breaking the law, right?
Yeah!
Right?
Yes! Why isn't there an audience for you? I don't understand. You should be shredding somewhere.
Because it's not 1989.
Well, people still like shredders.
Sure, ma'am. Seniors love them. that's where they all went.
What do you mean, man?
I don't know, man. I mean, if I lived in Japan, I'd be on TV tomorrow. And that's not a problem.
Well, move.
Slow down. Yeah, I should. Yeah, I should. I should, really should. I told my wife, like, we have a vacation in Japan. Like, I need to be in a guitar store within 24 hours because it's time to go on television.
Because Japan, like
Mr. Big, like bands like Mr. Big,
yeah.
They're not playing huge venues in America. They sell out the Budokan in 5 minutes.
Budokan. Well, everybody good plays the Budokan.
Hey, there's a video on here where you're playing American Woman. Where was that at?
Is there a crowd?
Oh, yeah. This might be your biggest crowd.
Is that in a cafeteria?
Yeah, it looks like a cafeteria of some place.
Yeah, that's where I used to work. We had a house band.
Looks like your coworkers dig it.
Yeah, no.
And once again, your move apparently is standing on things. And
what's that? Is he standing on one of the tables?
Eddie Van Halen, yep. Hot for Teacher, man.
It's clear.
Clear.
Wait.
That's my move, man.
Is there somebody playing the harp?
Yes.
Who's that lady?
Well, so we had at my last at a job I used to work at, we had a house band, and basically a bunch of coworkers got together.
Wait, what job is this? What job is this with the house band?
I was a video editor at this company that used to be Yellow Book. They're now Haibu. That was about 3 years ago, so we had a house band, and cool. We had singers and drummers and bassists and a couple guitar players and. And mostly it was to play the holidays, like in the cafeteria or like out on the deck, you know. And it was a good time. And we all got laid off, or at least.
What are you doing for a living now, Greg? When you're not shredding?
I'm a video producer out in Malvern, making commercials for Propulsion Media Labs, and I have a freelance business, graphicsbygreg.com. I do event posters and flyers.
What's it called again?
Graphics by Greg. Graphicsbygreg.com.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I got the Ventures as a client. That's pretty crazy. The Ventures, the surf rock band.
The Ventures, yeah. I thought he said
the Avengers.
I thought he did too.
Oh, yeah. I got Avengers. You know, me and the Hulk are like this, man.
You talk really fast, Greg.
Sorry about that, man.
No, it's okay.
I'll slow down.
I seriously feel like I'm talking to the Nuge.
Slow down.
I got the guitar in my hand, man. So like, you know, it's kind of like, yeah.
No,
electrifying.
I understand. how many videos of you are there online?
I'd say my YouTube channel has over 300 at least.
And how many subscribers?
I got a bunch of crazy stuff. Yeah, I got a bunch of crazy stuff on there, man. I was on the Howard Stern show back in 2009 or so.
For what?
A song parody that we sent in. Me and my brother wrote it. It was a parody of Bon Jovi's. Bad Medicine, but it was Artie's back on heroin.
Artie's on heroin, okay.
Yeah, so it was Artie is back on heroin. You know. So that's on YouTube.
Is that on your channel?
Yeah,
can we find
it? On my channel. You search Artie's back on heroin, it's on there.
Okay.
But I've produced a bunch of content on YouTube for, you know, at least 10 years now, and a lot of it was like specifically like, I've seen other stuff, like, I don't really know about going viral or anything, but I've seen stuff get, like, a lot of views. I'm like, oh, I'd upload something, and I'd be like, oh, this is totally going to explode, and I'd get, like, 100 views. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Well, I
upload a two-minute clip of me playing at Senior Center, and all of a sudden I'm on the phone with Davenport, Iowa.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of that is due to the lady falling off the chair.
It does help.
Wait, there we go. Let's hear the song.
There's cursing. Printing, wow.
I like the hook.
On heroin. Artie's out of rehab and he needs to get a fix. Howard and Robin think he's lying, but he could give a shit. Put his penis in a cup, cause Dr. Drew will watch him piss. He's sleeping in the green room, Drew Rivers can suck his dick. And we all know he's using when that loser calls him sick. Oh, Artie is back.
I like this. It's on my iPod. He's back on heroin.
Pretty soon he won't be 6 feet underground. I like this. Nice. Nice,
yeah,
nice.
That was almost 10 years ago. Wow, that's crazy, man. But, you know, I've been doing all kinds. I be myself, and I play what I play. And, yeah. You know, sometimes things go over well. Sometimes things just get completely ignored. And
well, you need to be matched up with a proper, appropriate audience. Which,
hey man,
old folks.
Should I call up Steve Vai's favorite nations label or something?
I think you should keep playing senior centers and maybe a library, maybe a funeral, and keep putting videos up. That could be the market.
Yeah, that could be the market. You know, shredding where
shredding where no one dares shred.
Yeah, everyone needs a hook, and maybe that's your hook. You're shredding to the most inappropriate audiences possible.
It is really funny. It is really funny because you have all this energy and you're rocking out, and then there's just old people sitting around.
Yeah. Oh, and she just, falls, yeah. And when that old lady falls, it's like...
I couldn't help but think, okay, why does this guy think this crowd, this is the appropriate
care,
music
man.
For this audience? But you're rocking. You rock no matter where you go.
There's not... Exactly, dude. If I can plug in, if there's electricity available, I'll literally play anywhere. It does not matter to me. I can't think of a place where I wouldn't play. I mean, you know, Metallica played that San Quentin. Like, okay, sure. You know, you plug in there, sure.
Hey, they'd love you at any prison. That would be an appropriate audience, probably. They get.
I'd play a prison if they let me. Sure, of course. Okay. I think cat scratch. Yeah, I think the cat scratch fever, breaking the law. I would totally play breaking the law, but you just freeze out of prison, of course.
Can you play Can you play Red House?
Red House by Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
That's just like a standard little blues thing. That's not really that distinct by my standard. Whoa, I mean, it's like there's a red house over yonder, blues lick, you know. Where my baby stays, blues lick, you know. Yeah, it's like that thing, yeah. Yeah.
It's not bad when Jimmy plays it.
Phenomenal.
Hey, listen, yeah, Greg.
I know that.
We're going to stay in touch because you never know when you need somebody to over-rock.
Absolutely, dude.
And I expect we're going to see more of you online.
Hey. I haven't mentioned this to other radio stations or anything like that, but like, maybe I should mention, like, if anyone covers the airfare, I'll play anywhere a place wants me to play. Like,
what?
You want to play a senior home out in Michigan? Cover the airfare, I'm there.
You never know. Fox One might want Greg to shred there.
Make it a bit. I'm fine by that, man.
Okay, I appreciate it, Greg.
Cool, man.
Great talking to you. Nice job shredding, and I'm glad everybody's okay.
Man, Greg. Thanks for the call, man. I really appreciate it, man. I'm glad you guys enjoy it, man.
Yeah,
thanks, man.
Have a great day. Keep shredding.
Thanks, man. You too, man. Thanks.
We'll
see
you. All right.
Burn it up. See you, bye.
Shredding Greg.
Yeah. Not wait to see the whole concert.
Didn't it seem... I swear, I just felt like Nugent was on the phone.
To say goodbye to Greg.
It is tough.
Here he is in his 30 seconds to shred contest.
Three, two, one, go.
The best part is he doesn't look like a rocker.
No, he doesn't.
He's like a chubby little guy. He's tall, but he's a total goofball.
We all came to celebrate. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
I just like his energy.
Yeah.
Between his shredding and his energy, there's something there. He just hasn't found his audience. And this portion of programming brought to you by Zot Ford, our fabulous sponsor since the very beginning of the Drew and Mike podcast. And they've made an exciting announcement. The newest member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County, Mr. Jim Bentley, someone well known to the Drew and Mike show listeners. Yes.
Hi, Jim.
The very hot Jim Bentley joins the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. And they're still doing those locks of the week, locks of the month. I'm sorry. They're destroying Brandon's garbage locks of the week, as
That's
they
crack.
Say. I know. It's terrible. And they will continue to do so now through the end of the year. In case you've been living under a rock, part one gets 0% financing up to 72 months. Part two, no payments for 3 months. And part three, in addition to all the other great stuff, they will line your pockets with up to $7,000 in cash. Jim Bentley, apparently having a huge impact over there. And you can activate your lock trifecta by calling Jim or Anthony. I don't know, Jim said don't call anything. 248-215-5151. Again, the magical trifecta number is 248-215-5151. Hurry, because when the holidays are gone, so is your chance to put $7,000 cash in your pocket from our friends at Zot Ford.
Do it. Get it done.
Oh, nothing. This related to...
Something? Nothing?
The other day's show when I was hating sticks and somebody messaged me that she was in traffic on Haggerty and she's behind a car that had a sticks sticker.
Sweet. A stick sticker? Really?
A stick sticker on the rear window. And then she noticed it's the license plate. Kelly, thanks for sending this. STX fan.
Cool.
The person is so in love with sticks.
They have their fans.
And a license plate. Oh, my God.
I know. It's amazing. It is funny.
How?
When you know someone, you find out someone is a super fan of some band you don't like.
Ugh.
It really throws me. It's like, I don't know if I can like you or be your friend. That's too weird.
Maybe they heard this song, which rules, and they went out and got it.
Oh, went to the
Secretary's huge Sticks fan, and then they heard Mr. Robot.
This is one of those songs that got a lot of airplay where I went, Does anyone really like this song? I mean, this would be a... I think I punched it out every time.
Don't
this
you
song
love it when
out.
It gets to this part, though?
I like
though?
It. No.
I love it.
It's a renegade, Drew. I can't believe someone auditioned this for the band, and the band went, yeah, that's great! You gotta do that!
Still a great song.
I envision... Well, first of all, I don't think it was probably hard to get the plate that was Styx fan. No one else has that.
And that's true. That's a nice thing about being a fan. You can easily get the plate.
And I envision it being on like a old Pontiac or something. I don't know what kind of car.
Yeah, you think it would be an old car. Speaking of music, I read a list today of the 50 most annoying songs ever.
Oh, wow.
And I wrote down a lot.
Your list?
Of them. No, it's not my list. Oh. It was just a list online. It was clickbait, but I clicked it anyway.
Oh. Can we guess to see if any are on there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Macarena.
Yes, it's on there.
Chumbawamba, really? Tub Thumping.
No.
Okay. Damn.
What's that Country Eye Joe song?
Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, Rednecks?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Over what period of time?
Old Town Road better not be on there.
No, it's not on
You're
there.
Right, Rednecks.
Yeah, Rednecks is on the list.
What's Rednecks? Yeah, oh, this song, yeah. Where did you come from? That's why I never know who the band was.
Cotton Eye Joe's the name of the band, right?
No, it's the song.
Or is it, or is it the band name Rednecks?
Yeah.
Is Old Black Betty on there?
Ram Jam?
Ram Jam.
No, it isn't on there.
Good, because that song rocks. Love that song.
I'll read you part of the list and see if that jogs your memory at all. The Final Countdown?
Oh, I played that today.
Ouch.
Were you introducing a sports team?
I know, it seems like there should be a game immediately after that song.
No, but
always.
Next so we enter that song.
Did you play this version?
No.
Yeah, you should play like a minute of this and then go, oh, God, wrong version. I played the live version. Sorry.
I still love this.
Well, it's so cool that you can see there's no one in front of the stage for like 20 feet.
Until that little kid comes wandering through.
And it's always the background of these things that's the most fun.
Oh, the best. So confident, you know? And off key.
Women love confidence. Love that keyboard. Keyboard guy's
pretty
killer.
Good. The drummer's not bad.
Afternoon Delight.
Oh, God.
Oh, terrible.
What's New Pussycat, Tom Jones?
Oh, I like that song.
I kind of like that.
Macarena, Copacabana.
Ugh.
Ugh.
You're beautiful. Ew. You're beautiful.
Your life is brilliant.
Disco Duck by Rick Dees.
My life is brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
What?
Yep. Call Me Maybe.
I kind of like that song.
A lot of people kind of like that song.
So weird.
Mbop.
Dumb.
Ice Ice Baby. I don't hate Ice Ice Baby.
Well, it's got the beat from Queen.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah.
I know. Billy Ray Cyrus, they had a picture of him. He has the most ridiculous mullet when that song came out. Oh, my God. He looked ridiculous.
And now he's all, like, grunged out.
Baby by Bieber.
Of course.
We Built This City.
Ah, oh,
that always that gets on a lot
Tops.
Of lists. My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. Sherry by the Four Seasons.
Oh,
it's annoying.
My life is broken.
Wait, isn't this about a stalker? Or am I confusing?
It's about a stranger he saw. That he fell in love with
a
stranger.
That he beat off to, right? Yes. Yeah. My
life is broken. And he'll never see her again.
You've got me
ever.
Hard.
Truly, somebody could have. Somebody could have seen you on your way over here and be thinking the same thing.
Oh, wow. And wrote a shitty song about it.
Except he caught your eye.
Oh. My
love is pure. Now they're beating off to you right now, Trudy.
Oh. Women flattering. Women love this song.
I know.
It was a huge hit.
We've talked about that before. People use it as their wedding song, not realizing the meaning. Just like Every Breath You Take, which is another stalker
song. Because I've got
a plan. Beat off.
You're beautiful. Why does he sing that way?
Because he's from Ireland or something.
Some ting.
I don't think he's ever had another hit, to my knowledge.
The Blunter?
James Blunt.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
We'll look it up for you.
My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion.
Oh, terrible.
Karma what? Chameleon, Culture Club.
What? I kind of like that.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that.
That one's not bad.
Friday by Rebecca Black.
I hate that song.
I know. It's annoying as hell. And she tried to do a song called Saturday, didn't she?
Yeah, it's bad.
A cliche.
Photograph by Nickelback.
Ew.
Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, Wham.
Oh, kind of like that song.
I never liked that song.
No? It's Friday.
Yes. Hey, it's perfect timing. Isn't she in a convertible in the video?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think everybody always forgets about the rap part, too, of the song.
There's a rap part? I forgot. Totally
yeah,
forgot.
Yeah, the black guy that produced it.
I know, no one can do a song alone, can they?
No. James Blunt's second highest charting song was 66th. It was the follow-up called Goodbye, My Lover. I don't know the song. Does anybody know that song?
I do not know that. I Want Candy by The Strange Gloves, which is covered by Aaron Carter. Yes, I saw you
blind. And what are all these songs about chicks he sees? So I took what's mine
by eternal right. This guy is such a sack. Took your soul. Cut it out, Blunt.
Did you know he was in the army?
Whoa.
I don't know what army.
Was he discharged, hopefully?
He was a British army officer.
Livin' La Vida Loca.
That's dumb.
Which that song got played. It seemed like that song was in every award show for like 5 years.
I feel like all these songs were covered by William Hung at one time.
You know, his version of Rocket Man, honestly, I think it's because I like Rocket Man so much, I don't mind his cover that much.
Yeah.
It's like if I could never hear Rocket Man again, but only by William Hung, I'd probably listen to it.
What kind of world would that be?
I know.
I swear, isn't this song played on the Little House tailgate rotation?
Oh, it may be.
I think Riley has it on the rotation.
Yakety Yak by the Coasters. Mm. Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh, boy.
Whip My Hair, Willow Smith.
Ugh. So
it's Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
That's a great song.
Baby Shark.
I got one question for all of you.
Do you know there's
Let the Dogs Out?
Do you know there's about 500 versions of Baby Shark?
Wasn't that a children's song?
Yeah, and there's about 500 different versions of it, and I think I've heard them all.
Love You, Barney. Thong Song by Cisco.
Oh, that's just great, though.
I'm a Gummy Bear.
What's that?
Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines?
Do My Thing by Miley. And then they have the 500 Miles song. I'm 500 miles.
Yeah, what's that band again?
I kind of like that song. The Proclaimers?
Yeah, the Proclaimers.
And then All About the Bass by Meghan Trainor.
I like that song, too.
This song was so huge.
The Thong Song.
It was such a moment in time, wasn't it?
I did not like this song.
It was a great video. All night long. It's a shame that Cisco started graying at such a young age.
Okay, breaking network news. Breaking. Huge.
Hey, this right here is some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
The Dio, not concert, the Dio, why can I not remember? Hologram. The Dio hologram concert. Canceled.
Yeah.
And do we have any audio representation or any reason whatsoever as to why?
It was canceled mid the last concert. They just decided to pull the plug on it, and it was kind of weird. I don't know.
Literally.
Oh, you mean that, really?
Literally.
Ride the time.
Yo! Sounds good.
Why not?
As long as no one walks behind him.
Oh, no.
You see people scrambling.
Oh, no. To plug in batteries?
It's like the Beach Boys movie or the
Dead Man's Curve.
Yes.
Janet Dean. Oh.
No.
That was it, which is weird.
For 800 C-cell batteries.
And and was it sort of like Luke Skywalker retracting his lightsaber?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like... But they did notice, and like, because obviously before the concert, he has to do the rehearsal.
Yeah.
And so.
I'm glad you got so much insight into the story, because this is a huge breaking story.
Yeah. And right. And so we were watching back. Mark and I were watching back at some of the rehearsal, and you could tell then that something was wrong. Here's part of that.
Okay.
Oh, you've got the video.
Holy diver!
You've been down too long in the midnight sea. Oh, what's becoming of me?
Oh.
Ooh. Ride the tiger. You could see his stripes, but you know he's clean. Oh, don't you see what I mean?
Oh, it's wavering.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, no, Dio.
Gotta get away. Holy diver.
Oh, Dio.
Yikes.
Dio, they got to get back in the lab with Dio.
Yeah, shut that. Shut it down.
He's going to be in the tech ICU.
I'm surprised they decided to go on with the show.
Well, the other guys, like Ripper, took over to finish off the show, and that was it.
He's very mad, by the way.
Dio?
Ripper Owens.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he can take over.
Because of all the people that are mad, that don't like the Dio hologram. He's, quote unquote, sick of all the hatred.
I mean, it's not Dio's fault. Dio's gone. No,
he's dead. Dio. He doesn't know.
Trying to find his actual quote here.
I'm kind of amazed that people
understand if someone doesn't like it, but what I'm sick of is the hatred some people have. Wendy gets blamed, and really all she's done is spend money on this to try to make the fans happy. A cash grab is Wendy sitting on her couch owning all of Ronnie's music. She's grabbing all the cash from that, so she doesn't have to do anything. Why would she spend the money to make fans happy?
Well, now, is she really just spending money? I mean, was really that the idea that I've got to get my widow out there? I'll spend anything. I mean, was there really no intention to make money? Just saying. I don't know.
And she's working on an anniversary concert anyway.
Oh, come on. So. Just pack it in.
Is Ripper gone. Is Ripper possibly interested in her? Fully played.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
He could play that role, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad. Ronnie James. At the Fillmore, it was going to be June 8th. Scrubbed at the last minute, and you have tickets. You can go refund.
I was hoping we hear from Hawk on that. I mean, I think maybe he would have some secrets.
Right, because he's...
I knew it would be canceled. That show sucked balls.
Wow.
He's
a tough critic, man.
Yeah, he is. I'm sure Hawk had some ideas as to what could have made it better, maybe.
He's a physicist, of course. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, well, there's no doubt what Hawk would want to make it better.
Well, I'm not saying he's wrong, either.
Dio rocked in life, but I should have got the tour.
Ooh.
Oh, Hawk on tour?
Yeah. He wanted to open for him, maybe?
I think I'd go pay for that.
Hell yeah.
Hawk!
The idea, though, that happened at practice, too, you guys. I mean, by the way, why does Ronnie have to practice?
Well, you heard why, Trudy.
You got to make sure it's a smooth running operation. They play. I mean, the other guys play live, right?
They have to choreograph around him so no one walks through him.
Yeah, they make sure nobody walks through him. They should have an electric fence around him, like dogs in the yard. Wouldn't that be great? Because then you see the guitarist who's so into it, he walks over to jam with Dio and...
He should have had gyrating titties on stage with him.
Yeah.
I would not have agreed.
Yeah, with the Dio crowd, I do believe they're okay.
You know what you're talking about.
Nude bitches sell tickets.
Thank you, Professor Hawking.